I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? This is your Alternative Facts for the week. As always, I'm your host, Chris Payne, joined in the studio here with Stereogum's Michael Nelson.
Hey, Chris.
Yo, thanks for coming by.
Dude, thanks for having me.
It's been a chaotic 24 hours. It's I just got in last night from Chicago, Riot Fest. I just saw Jawbreaker.
Man, I am super jealous.
I didn't mean to rub it in.
I want to hear about it. Tell me how it was.
It was really good. I felt like there was so much that could have gone wrong, but it just worked out. They put on a great set. They played 15 songs, I believe. They sounded tight, all three of them. I mean, I think Blake has played those, especially those songs, live more frequently since Jawbreaker has broken up. So I wasn't sure of what, like, maybe the chemistry would have been like with them on stage, but it was there. The crowd loved it. It went well.
So, like, I mean, my question was, like, the reason I was sort of ambivalent about the Jawbreaker reunion was specifically because of Blake's voice. You know, I felt like his voice, you know, even 20 years ago had this like very like thin sound. It held up over the years. He still sounds good.
I mean, it wasn't a booming festival voice.
Right.
But it didn't sound bad. And the scruffiness, it fits the music, if you know what I mean.
So sure, of course.
If it is a little low in the mix or a little grainy or going at some times, you give it the benefit of the doubt.
Man, I wish I could have heard it. Do you happen to know? I know they did a show in San Francisco prior to Riot Fest, and we had a writer there. And as far as I know, they only played songs from, I think it was 24 Hour Revenge Therapy and Dear You, and they didn't do anything earlier. Do you happen to know if they did or you don't?
No, they played Want.
Okay.
So that's from Unfun.
Okay, so they did some earlier.
They closed with Bivouac.
Did they do Chesterfield King?
Yeah.
That's all they need to
Kiss the Bottle, Next to Last.
Okay.
No, they actually, if you break down the set list, they played more of Dear You than anything else, but they jumped across the discography.
It's pretty amazing that they are so, that they, because at the time, Dear You was like this, you know, pariah type record. I mean, I never felt that way about it, but I remember Maximum Rock and Roll was so completely, you know, opposed to the existence of Dear You. And I think it really, at the time, poisoned that album in the minds of a lot of fans. I'm glad that it's obviously been reclaimed over the years, but I'm glad that the band is so stoked on it still, because I think it's an awesome record, and I think it got unfairly treated in that moment.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I mean, things look like they're looking up for them. I heard a recent interview with Blake where they were doing in Brooklyn an interview after the screening of the new Jawbreaker documentary, and someone in the crowd asked him if they would do a New York show, and he responded 95% yes.
Wow. So I'll be at that New York show. I'm stoked for that.
There you go. So we're talking about some other, I'd say a like-minded sort of band, a band which definitely has a lot of an overlapping fan base with Jawbreaker. We're talking about the Movie Life. We have Brandon and Vinny from the bands coming on later in the show to talk about their new album, their first in 14 years, actually. And Michael, when I first heard the first track off this album, I think it was the day that they announced it, you were in love with it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. So I love the first single that they dropped. I think it sounds, so the Movie Life always sort of had this like proto-emo sound, where, you know, they wrote, I think, really, like, strong hooks, loud guitars, you know, really, like, intense sort of, you know, sung, screamed vocals. And, I mean, at the core of what they did was just write really tight songs. I think that's what, you know, separated them from a lot of... I grew up on Long Island, and I know that scene.
Yeah, give us some background on that.
Sure, yeah. So, so the movie Life came out of this Long Island hardcore scene, and they were sort of the band that I think they predated Taking Back Sunday and Brand New, and I think that they were supposed to be the big success story that Brand New and Taking Back Sunday wound up being. So I mean, back then they released three albums, I think. One was on a real small local label, one was on Revelation, and then the last one was on Drive Through, and then they split up after that one, which came out in 2003. You know, their writing was always really, really strong, and I heard the first single off the new album, and I mean, to me, it was just like, it didn't sound like they were trying to revisit the old days. It sounded like they were just like, you know, it sounded incredibly tight, incredibly just well-crafted. And I mean, part of that is because both those guys, Brandon and Vinny, have obviously kept up, you know, it's not as if they've been, you know, like working as graphic designers for the last 15 years or whatever. Vinny was doing I'm the Avalanche, and Brandon was doing Nightmare Review. So, you know, obviously they've been working a lot and, you know, advancing their sound. But I think it really comes together on the new single and really throughout the whole album. I think every song on that album is just a killer. I don't know if you've heard the whole thing yet, but yeah, it's just so catchy, and it's like so tight, and it sounds so good. And Vinny's voice sounds just like incredible to me, which is like, considering, you know, how long it's been since he's sung this music, it's so impressive to me. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to drop in a little bit of a sampling for the people listening so they can hear what we're talking about. This is Mercy Is Asleep at the Wheel off the new movie Life.
And it's tearing us all apart. Is your conscience waking up? A will is iron till it's rust. Mercy is asleep at the wheel. The rest of us are just hanging. Mercy is asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, so when the movie Life were first founded, I'm pretty sure they were founded by among other people, Eddie Reyes, who went on to, after leaving the movie Life, before they sort of had their breakthrough moment or semi-breakthrough moment, Eddie Reyes formed Taking Back Sunday. And when he formed Taking Back Sunday, he did so with Jesse Lacey. And obviously that didn't go all that well. That's one of the better known,
I don't think we need to rehash that one.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, really, like, to me, the movie Life were sort of like the ground zero for that stuff. There's several bands that predate them, specifically Mind Over Matter and Silent Majority, I think, were the two, like, sort of Long Island hardcore bands that really, you know, created the template for what the Long Island hardcore scene was, which really, in a lot of ways, in my opinion, was the template for what modern emo was. You know, you had emo in DC, stuff like, you know, Rites of Spring, but what you heard coming off of Long Island was that much more like melodic pop punkish sound that became, you know, like arena emo. I mean, and that's really where it came from. I mean, if you look at Silent Majority and Mind Over Matter, and then, you know, Eddie Reyes played in Mind Over Matter, and then that evolved into the movie Life, and then that evolved into Taking Back Sunday and Brand New, and that's really where it all started. So I'm stoked, like, to see them coming back, especially with such a strong record, because, you know, I feel like of all the bands from that era that really didn't, I mean, they were beloved, of course, but that, you know, should have been way bigger than they were, I think the movie Life are pretty high on that list.
Yeah, and tell me about, we were just having this discussion about the amount of reunions of bands that came from the mid-90s to the mid-aughts, and why you think that just so many of these groups are getting back together these days.
You know, it's so we're talking about this, like, so obviously the big one, I mean, you know, it's the we got the Movie Life reunion. The big one is the brand new record, which just came out and is obviously, you know, debuted at number one, which is remarkable. And I think it was less than a week then after the brand new album dropped that we got an announcement that the classic New York City hardcore band Quicksand were reuniting for their third album and their first in 22 years. You know, we were, you know, you're just talking about Jawbreaker, like another classic band that's reuniting. I don't know if Jawbreaker will release new material, but
they left open in that same interview that I was referencing earlier. They didn't make it sound as likely as a New York show, but they left open the possibility of them writing new music together.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course, I hope they do. I mean, that guy can write songs with anybody, and I'm sure that, you know, his writing chops have only, like, grown stronger over the years. I mean, I've noticed it a lot lately. You know, over the past few years, it's not exactly a new trend. I just do feel that it's been coming, like pretty fast and furious lately. I remember a couple of years ago, Texas Is the Reason reunited for basically just a set of a tour. And at the end of it, they kind of said, this is it for us. We're not going, this is the last reunion we're ever going to do. We're not going to do it again. There's not going to be any new music. There's not going to be any more shows. That's the end of it. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, Why would you say that? Why would you put yourself in that position? I mean, Texas Is the Reason can go on tour and sell out, like, pretty decent sized venues across the country. You know, why would you choose to, like, shut the door on at least a reunion tour, if not new music? But I think that what it is really is that, first of all, I mean, this is pretty much, you know, like, standard issue when it comes to reunions, is that people don't know what they've got until it's gone. And, like, maybe, you know, when Jawbreaker were active, or when, you know, Movie Life were active, like, maybe these bands weren't playing to full venues, but when they went away, everybody sort of recognized how excellent they were, and now they'll play to, you know, full venues supporting a new album. I think another part of it is that you have a subset of fans who grew up with these bands, and now, you know, that they're in their late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, early 40s. These are people who sort of want to relive the glory days a little bit, you know, see these bands that they grew up with, you know, go out, buy a t-shirt, and, sort of, you know, have that moment. And I definitely have noticed it a lot lately. So,
sure, yeah. I mean, at this point, and sometimes it seems like it's more rare if the band never gets back together than if they actually do get back together.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the list is so short of bands that haven't gotten back together or won't get back together. And especially in this scene,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems to me like all these bands, like the old hardcore band Burn just released are releasing a new record on Deathwish. It seems like Deathwish, anytime like an old school hardcore band reunites, like Deathwish is there to release the record. So I can't really think of too many. The only one that I can think of that is an absolute, like, non-starter is, like, the Gorilla Biscuits, who are, like, a seminal, like, New York City hardcore band that predated Quicksand. But I can't really think of too many of these bands that don't reunite, at least for some shows. Even those little Long Island bands that I was mentioning, like Mind Over Matter and Silent Majority, you know, they'll do reunion shows here and there. They'll play at St. Vitus in Brooklyn and, you know, just, like, do a night and, you know, they'll pack the house, man, and people will be going nuts. They'll come out from Long Island or Jersey or wherever they're living, and you know, they'll go nuts for these bands.
Sure, and they should shout out the label that's putting out the new Movie Life album, Rise Records. They have a history with putting out new stuff from these reunited bands in punk and hardcore. They did that with Hot Water Music and with the Jealous Sound.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the Quicksand Records coming out on Epitaph, which is, mm-hmm. you know, obviously a great label. Yeah, I don't know.
So. Yeah, I mean, God, I'm trying to think of other ones who have not reunited who could. There's just like the not gonna happen level of like a Fugazi and like Minor Threat. There's those, but if you put it more towards like the realm of probability, most of what could happen kind of has happened.
I hold out the possibility of Fugazi eventually getting back together. I mean, they never officially broke up, and I know they're not really all living on the same continent now, but. You know, I mean, they're to me like a band that could get back together, you know, pretty much any day and sell out every single venue in the entire world and, you know, make an absolutely incredible album. So yeah, I mean, but the list is pretty short, especially, you know, of the types of bands we're talking about.
Yeah, because Riot Fest now has such a history of bringing these bands back together. They just did Jawbreaker. The year before that, it was the classic Misfits lineup. A couple years before that, it was the Replacements.
Yeah, honestly, I think that to me that you see so many like festivals that have the same lineup. It almost looks like a tour, even though the festival has a different name in every city that it goes to. And I think that, you know, that's really to Riot Fest's credit that that's their sort of like mission, is to get some incredibly legendary, iconic band to reunite for their festival every year. And it's remarkable. I remember people saying, you know, people on Twitter saying like, you know, well, if Riot Fest gets Jawbreaker to reunite this year, then I can die now. And then they announced Jawbreaker and people were dying. So, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Riot Fest. Also should shout out that Jawbreaker interview, or at least with Blake, that I mentioned a couple times earlier. That was with the Washed Up Emo podcast hosted by Tom Mullen, recent episode, so go check that one out. And Michael, thanks so much for coming on. You should shout out your socials and anything you've been working on lately you want to tell the people about.
Sure. Twitter is at NelsonicBoom. Stuff that we've been working on. The last thing I did was a massive feature on the War on Drugs
record. Oh, yeah, I read that. People, go back and read that. Go read it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Maybe set aside some time.
Yeah, that's a good...
Good speakers, maybe.
If you've got about 11 hours to kill, that's a good read.
Go read Stereo Gum, Michael Nelson's write-up on the War on Drugs, and thank you. Next up, The Movie Life. Vinny and Brandon from The Movie Life, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hello.
Hi.
Set the scene. We're chilling in the Billboard Archives room, surrounded by about 150 years of bound library quality Billboard magazines as books.
Pretty cool room. It smells exactly like you would imagine if you've ever been around a bunch of old books. It
smells like Thomas Hardy's basement.
It's a good smell. I don't smell this. This doesn't smell like an iPhone.
There was a movie.
It's very analog in here.
There was a. You guys, as The Movie Life, were on like the Billboard 200, right?
Really?
Like 40 Hour Train probably
would have. I think we were in the top 10.
Yeah, let's go with.
I'm just saying, the Movie Life is probably mentioned in one of these books.
I would say there's no proof.
Yeah, so we can dig through the archives later. I heard you guys have all day, but for now, let's dig into the present. Tell me what it is like after 14 years. What is it like to get back into this headspace and do a new Movie Life record?
Crazy. Writing it was stressful in the beginning because we were charged with the task of figuring out what The Movie Life sounds like all those years later without freaking out our fans, without making an adult contemporary soft rock or like, I don't even know, anything in between. We needed it to have the heart and the soul of The Movie Life, and we needed it to not sound exactly like we did when we were teenagers. And we needed the songs to be powerful and the lyrics to be coming from a voice where it's more, you know, in a more contemporary place, but also still has that voice of the movie life and that heart. And so writing was stressful, and then we made our breakthrough. Do you remember our breakthrough?
Yeah, it took, I think we had about six songs. Let's just say six, something in that world. And the breakthrough was, I'm lying actually, I don't remember what the breakthrough was. I know there was one, but after about six songs, we had that kind of aha moment of like, this is what we are now.
I was going on a solo tour and I asked Brandon to write a punk song while I was gone. And I can tell he was distressed. He got in his car and drove back to Tarrytown being like, what does that mean? And I guess what I mean is, like, I think, you know, you kind of have to be like, all right, but it's not going to sound like late 90s, early 2000 pop punk, like kind of in the vein of what we finished at. And, you know, while I was away, I was working on something, and I showed him when I got home. And I wrote a song that opens the record. And that was when Brandon's kind of like ears and eyes opened to being like, oh, okay, like we can do this. We can go here. We can go there. It kind of opened this door because we were working on a lot of nice melodies and a lot of, you know, chords and melodies that were all cool and that we were vibing with, but the dynamics of the songs weren't being hashed out. So once we hit that kind of point and I showed him this one song I wrote, he was like, oh, okay, that can be the energy. Like, there's the energy. Now we can take that cue and kind of make a bunch of sharp turns and go anywhere else we want. But I needed to show him kind of what kind of heart and what kind of tempo I wanted to go after when it came to the more rocking songs. After that, we wrote our asses off for like a year. We had sleepovers and we had lots of late nights and afternoons and dinners and, you know, like writing sessions for lyrics between Brooklyn and Tarrytown. And it was like a full-time job. I mean, we went really hard because we knew we needed to do something good. Needed it to be really great and at least something we were really proud of. And then recording it was like a dream. We were super prepared because we put the work in, and it was just like a month of just creative juices, me and Brandon in a room with Brett Romness, who produced the record and played drums, and Joe Canetti, who was kind of assisted Rad on a lot of production and engineering and helped us get a lot of guitar sounds, and the four of us just put together this record. And, you know, I think it's the best thing that we've ever done. I understand completely how nostalgia works. Mm-hmm. So I won't say that, you know, oh, it's the best and, you know, it's, you know, everyone's gonna love it the same. I think anybody who's grown up with the band and grown up with Brandon and I's music is going to put this on, play it once through, and kind of be drawn back into our relationship with them. But yeah, I know how nostalgia works. It's really tough. I mean, that's why it was stressful for us in the beginning, because we're like, you know, there's a little bit of pressure here.
I think it's one of those things where it borders on almost impossible to come back with a new album after all those years and have it be your best album. But I stand by with what Vinny said as well. I think even from a very scientific viewpoint, it's our best album as well. Vinny and I we've kind of learned how to write songs a lot more since then. The old movie life was very parts driven. We wrote a lot of parts, and I think we've done a lot of growing as songwriters, and we really expanded our horizons as far as our influences. Came in my skull, I do it every day. I'm already gone. You're still looking at ghosts in the photographs. Haunted for so long. When you need a friend, I will.
Yeah, you've both touched on the importance of making it count when you do make that reunion record after so long. There's like a weariness there and a seriousness I can sense with you guys. Are there any other reunions that maybe influenced your decision of like, wow, this band pulled it off really well, I want to be like that, or wow, this band's let's not make those mistakes?
I guess not many do pull it off, which is why, you know, it's a very like sort of could be a grave conversation to have. But I know there's someone that came back with like an incredible...
Oh, we're talking about a record?
Like after being disbanded for a long time and then making a new record, it's...
Honestly, like there's not... I think about... I'm guilty because I'm sure if we think long enough, we can figure it out, but like...
Not a Surf?
I probably didn't pay attention.
Right.
Like, there's a new... Oh, it's a new Pixies record. I love the Pixies. You love the Pixies.
Yeah, and I haven't heard it.
Have you heard new Pixies?
That's record? Why I don't... I don't expect anyone to even know that we're putting an album out, because we were just talking. There's, you know, there's this new Jawbreaker documentary, and I should have seen it in the first showing. I should have been at the premiere because I'm a huge fan, and I didn't even know what happened. So, like, I'm not getting information about the people, like, the artists that I love. So I'm not super optimistic that everyone is in the know of what we're doing.
I think Not a Surf's a really good example.
That's a good example.
A band that went away for a while, came back.
Was it Let Go? Was that
it
the record when it came?
Let Go, right?
Yeah, that was like, I think that's the best record they've ever made, personally, I think. And that was, like, a record that came back after...
Yeah.
Multiple years. I don't know how long it was.
It was a while, and everyone was just like, oh, is that the popular band? They had like, you know, that.
They sure. were no longer the popular band anymore. At least in, you know, in my, maybe I was watching a different movie, but like they were no longer that band anymore. Yeah. And I feel like they were, that they became the most successful.
Oh, guaranteed.
From a grassroots perspective, like than when they had a hit on the radio, I think.
Yeah, that was had like, because I don't really remember popular, but I remember I was like in college and college radio when Let Go came out. It had like I Like What You Say was one of the songs on it, and Whose Authority.
That might have been Wait as a Gift.
Is like, that's the one after Let Go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let Go had Blizzard of 77.
Okay, I'm a few albums too far ahead.
But Wait as a Gift is
that's a great
also
record too.
Amazing. Okay. I have a tattoo of that. The lyrics in that song on my body. That's how moved I was by what Not a Surf came back and did. You know, it's not easy. You got to put the work in, and you got to make something that is going to resonate with people, and that's all you can do. And then you got to go out and work your ass off, do press, play shows, and luckily when we play shows, people come and see us, so there's a captive audience that we're gonna, you know, get into the record. It's funny, like, we've been talking about this so much so far in this podcast that it's like I feel like people are gonna just get into it, you know. Maybe I'm naive, or maybe I'm just super, you know, in it.
What are you, like, optimistic or something?
What am I, optimistic? I know being optimistic this day and age is futile, but no, I mean, jeez, it feels good.
I think, I mean, I'm biased, but I like the record a lot. I'm really, really into the record. So that is the most, and again, this is cliche, but that's the most important thing to me, is that like I can put the record on and actually enjoy listening to it. And I bet you there's a lot of bands that can say that. You know, they just feel like they're tied to this thing that they're doing. But I don't know.
This feels like a new thing.
Yeah. It feels new.
And it'll be nice too to have more songs to put on the set list. For me, makes being a musician, a touring musician, like, makes my job a lot easier. Also, it feels good to sing the old songs. Sometime when I'm singing the old stuff, I'm just kind of like, whoa, this is cool. Like, it's pretty cool that we did this when we were like that young, and like, this is rad. Like, we did some cool stuff. So like, I think there's certain Movie Life songs that I never want to sing again. Yeah. Cause I just can't bear, like, it gives me like this being the guy that wrote the lyrics, it gives me like this thing of like, oh, I don't want to sing that line.
Mm.
But there's a lot of songs where I go, you know what, this is really cool, and this is a really nice, like, that moment of my life was really captured, and all of these people are singing the words back, and like, that's amazing. And so that's going to be a nice little mix, like when we head back out on this tour, showing people new stuff, obviously playing all the old stuff. Not all the old stuff, not the ones that I can't possibly muster up.
What might those be?
I don't know. The ones that we haven't been playing the last 2 years in our shows.
So people listening just go through the set lists and you'll figure it out.
No, I think we'll probably uncover more old stuff that we want to like integrate back into the set. As the touring cycle goes on, you know, we just want to keep it interesting. We want all the people that come and see us to be happy as well. You know, that's obviously important.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, one more thing. Wanted to ask about some Long Island brethren who've been killing it lately. Have you guys been into the brand new album and following how they got the number one and all that?
So impressive. It's so cool that they seriously hit number one, putting out the record themselves. And
it's so wild. It's,
and I mean,
I'm not surprised, but it's, yeah. The fact that they put it out themselves
totally.
Is remarkable that it went to number one.
That was the first self-distributed number one of this year.
It's really incredible. Yeah. It's great for them. I think we've all been all as the planet Earth because they're the biggest band on planet Earth. I think we've all been watching them grow and watching them become this massive thing. And like the less they would do, the more successful they would become. And I mean, I think it's a testament to the power of their songs. I think it's just really rad that the word is that they're breaking up. That's like what they say, and I think that's a terrible idea.
We broke up too.
we broke up too. I think it's a terrible idea for Brand New to break up. Let me put that on record. They have the dream. They have a band that plays by their own rules. And who are adored worldwide, almost to an annoying extent, where I guarantee I will be answering questions about Brand New in press that I do on our record cycle because we know them. But that shows how beloved they are, and I think it's really amazing. I mean, yes, we came up together. That's where I got Brandon. For Movie Life is Brandon played in a band with everyone in Brand New except Vinny called The Rookie Lot, and The Rookie Lot broke up and Brandon joined The Movie Life, and then they went on to form Brand New, but we toured together. We have a lot of great times together. Brandon grew up going to elementary school and middle school and high school with some of those guys. Brian grew up in my town, so we came up that way. Long Island is continuing to, you know, a lot of the bands that we came up with are still doing great stuff and are still loved around the world. And that's something that we are appreciative of, and we're stoked for all of our dudes too.
Are there any bands from back then that you feel like should be shouted out more these days? Because like people still talk about like you guys and like Brand New, Taking Back Sunday, Glass Jaw, stuff like that. But are there any other bands you think like who don't get enough shine, who should be listened to and remembered more?
The band that we all those bands were influenced by were Silent Majority.
Yeah, Silent Majority is a reason why most of us are probably doing what we're doing now, or it's a reason why most of us sound a certain way. They were influential on all of us. The whole crowd at a Silent Majority show would be comprised of Glassjaw, Movie Life, Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, Crime in Stereo is another great band. You know, Silent Majority is all their music's on Spotify too, which is really cool. Because now, I think a lot of people have heard us mention Silent Majority in the past, but now they can just go on Spotify and listen. Life of a Spectator, you press play on that and you will see where some of my singing style like comes from. There's a little bit of that. Like, I definitely have a little bit of Tommy going on in my voice, especially in the early days.
I think good way to understand Long Island punk is to listen to Silent Majority.
And word.
That kind of...
Silent Majority, Vision of Disorder, Mind Over Matter,
yeah,
were like the big ones on Long Island. Vision of Disorder went on to do a lot around the world, but Mind Over Matter and Silent Majority were kind of the hugest bands on Long Island that didn't ever really...
Almost never toured. Arguably kind of didn't tour. We did one U.S. tour. I think was it a U.S. tour with Silent Majority? It was like a long one, right?
Yeah, I think Silent Majority did a
that might have been
tours.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Mind Over Matter did some stuff here and there, but...
But these are like 90s. These
Yeah, like late 90s. 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they would play Long Island, it was like
a
big deal.
Word. Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, my old roommate, shout out to Matthew Ruiz, if you're listening, for some bands like this, because he was a few years ahead of me in getting into this stuff. And from Long Island, he always said the Strider was an important one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We played a lot of shows with them. The Strider definitely did not live up to their potential, in my opinion. The Strider were good. Peter is a good songwriter, really good guitar player.
Very innovative, very unique. Didn't really sound like much of what was happening.
Scotty, great drum. They had a whole they had the full package. They just didn't keep going, I guess.
Yeah.
There was a big buzz about them when they released their first record on Equal Vision.
Yeah.
And they were cool. Like, they sounded a bit like Saves the Day back in the day,
mm-hmm.
like older Saves the Day. That would be another. I don't know if they're on Spotify. I'd be interested.
Yeah,
in listening.
They're not. Cause
oh, that sucks. I
was researching for an article recently for Billboard about like bands that came up around the same time as Brand New to like who were kind of forgotten. Now give them a shout out. And no, remember the Strider? I had to go onto YouTube to listen to their albums.
I just read that article too.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, with the Strider was mentioned on that. The 10 forgotten Long Island bands. Now that Brand New has kind of exploded on the new record.
Oh, okay.
So cool. They were actually like one of those.
Oh, that's rad. And they had a band before the Strider called Yearly, which was really, really rad, which was Scotty and Peter.
And Eben.
Eben,
who used to be
in Saves the Day.
That's, I think we took both of those bands
I'd like
out.
To hear that old Yearly stuff too.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So anything else? Any other Long Island memories? Things, new album? Anything else you guys want to touch on? We covered a lot.
New album's out September 22nd on Rise Records, called Cities in Search of a Heart.
Yep.
U.S. tour with Early November starts on September 18th through mid-October.
Yep. After that, we're doing a week-long tour down to Fest in Gainesville, and we're doing that with another great Long Island band called Iron Cheek. And then after that, we're headed to the UK to do a headliner. We have a band called Wallflower supporting us there, British band. And then I think we'll do a few holiday shows and call it a day. And as soon as the year turns, we're going to probably be doing some overseas stuff in the winter. And keep touring, keep working. Yeah, that's really what's up. So it's all starting now. It's exciting. Yeah, happy days. Under the circumstance, you act like a
kid and you walk away. What was the last thing she said? All right, all right, all right. Thank you so much to all the guests. Michael Nelson from Stereogum, Brandon and Vinny repping the movie life. And as always, thank you for listening. I know this one was a little bit longer than usual, but yeah, I could not trim this down. Had a lot of good stuff with the whole gang coming by, talking punk and hardcore, Long Island, Jawbreaker, all that good stuff. Hey, this is a weekly podcast. We've got more for you. Tons more in the archives, old stuff for you to dig through. To get the podcast automatically every Thursday, every week, subscribe to it. You can search for it in the podcast app on your phone, or just search for hashtag alternative facts in iTunes. Get it automatically every week and drop us a line. Star rating helps a lot, and you can write in your little comments there. Love the feedback. It helps a lot. Hit me up on Twitter with anything else you got, or just follow. I'm always dropping little hints about what's coming on with the show, and we do have a lot of interesting guests, more artists, bands, interviews coming up. So follow me on Twitter, at CPain on a plane. Keep up with everything. And also, you can just search for my name on Twitter if that's easier. Chris Payne, CHRISPAYNE. It's the first name that comes up. And that's really all I have for you. Enjoy the new Movie Life album. It's out now. Go listen to your Jawbreaker, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.